Thanks for joining us here at New Song Church, where we're helping people to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference. If you have any questions at all, or just want to learn more about us as a church, you can go to mynsc.org/happenings. It's the best way to stay connected with us throughout the week. And now, check out this week's sermon.
Today, we're going to finish this series, The Gospel of Grace. This is kind of the last installment of the series, The Gospel of Grace. And I want you to know ahead of time, if you know anything about me, I'm very lighthearted. I love to laugh. I'm just a pretty jovial person. I'm an optimist. I'm not really pessimistic whatsoever, if you want to know the truth. I'm very much an optimist. And yet, I want to tell you something before we go any further. That this is going to be one of those messages that you're probably not going to amen a lot, okay? So this is going to be a message that not only all of us, but I want to tell you something that the entire nation, especially here in America, that we need to hear. And yet a lot of pastors are not talking about this; they're not bringing this up. So get ready. And I want you to know before I start this, I'm going to start it this way, I'm going to end it this way. The reason that we're talking about what we're talking about today is kind of twofold. Well, first of all, we love the Word of God. We here at New Song, we actually study the Word of God. Like, we look into it, and we don't determine what we want the Bible to say. We don't try to change the Bible. We allow the Word of God to change us. That's who we are here at New Song, and so we study it. The second thing is, as we study the Word of God, I want you to know I love you so much that I'm willing to teach you some things that are not really being taught in today's culture, especially Christian culture, because a lot of people don't like hearing it. And yet it's in the Word of God. And I love you so much that you need to know this. And if you say, what in the world? Like, you are scaring me to death. I promise you, it is really incredibly good news. It's incredibly good news, but it's going to step on your toes today. It's going to step on your toes today. So that being said, are you ready to study the Word of God? Yes or no? Okay, because that's what, whether you like it or not, that's what we're going to do. You know, the last thing that Jesus said before he ascends to the Father, he did not tell his disciples to go and have great church services. He told them to go and make disciples. That's what he told them. And I want you to know, one of the reasons I think outside of the grace and the blessings of God that are so undeserved, one of the things that we really strive for here at New Song is that we strive to do things with excellence, that we just want to do things with excellence. And there's a couple of reasons for that, because excellence is contagious. People appreciate excellence. They appreciate that, hey, that we gave it a lot of thought. We were like, when you come here to New Song, you know that we're ready for you. We're ready. There's nothing that we haven't thought about or looked at. It doesn't mean that we're always successful at pulling off everything that we want to. Sometimes people are just people, and people don't show up sometimes. But we really, really try our best. A lot of that is, I think a lot of people appreciate it, and it helps us to grow. And obviously, I'm talking outside of the grace and the mercy of God. It helps us to grow, no doubt about that. Because how many know the Bible says that whatever you do it unto the Lord? Like, I'm going to say it a different way. What I've been teaching my staff, what I've been teaching others here at New Song, and I'm going to lead the way in this and have been leading the way in this, I am never casual about ministry. I'm never casual about New Song. Never be casual about ministry. Never be casual about living the purpose of God out in your life. This ministry is so important. All of us have been called to be ministers of grace in its various forms. Did you know that? Never be casual about ministry. Think that through a little bit. How many know Jesus wasn't casual when he went to the cross? And yet when he ascended into heaven, he didn't say, go and have great church services. He said, go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. And there's a lot of pastors today that are staying away from certain topics because they know that, or they, not they know, they think that the crowds will go away if they start preaching things like repentance. They think, well, it's going to drive people away. I want you to know something. I disagree with that. I think actually preaching the Word of God actually draws people into a church family like this, because people want to know, well, just tell me what the Bible says. So long before we started the church, my wife and I decided that we would be a church that would just teach what the Bible says, that people would actually be drawn to authenticity, that they would be drawn to a true teaching of the Word of God. And so there's no topic in the Bible that we're scared to address. We like to address them all because we love teaching the fullness of God's Word, because it's transformational, everybody. It's transformational. I don't want to leave anything out of it. I want to help you grow into true followers of Christ. And so with that being said, we're going to look at the verse that we built this series on, and it's found in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. And it goes like this. For the last time, we're going to read this out loud together. Ready? Read. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. Now, I'm going to read you a verse of scripture here in a second. Remember, Jesus, everything Jesus does is for your benefit. Everything he said was for your benefit. Everything he taught, everything he did, everything he's doing now is for the benefit of the church. And I'm going to read a statement to you in a second that Jesus said, and it's for the benefit of the church. First, we're going to start with a prayer, and then we're going to go to a statement thereafter. So we've been reading what Jesus has been praying in John 17. If Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God the Father today, and he is, he's making intercession for us. We were answering this question in this series, answering the question, well, what would Jesus talk to God about? What would he pray to God about concerning you and me? And if Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever, then what he prayed in John 17, what was on his heart in John chapter 17 when he prayed and it was recorded, is still on his heart today. And so John 17, verse 14, watch what Jesus prays. This is Jesus praying to God the Father. He says, Father, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world anymore than I am of the world. How many knows Jesus was not of the world, right? And as followers, you're not of the world either, okay? So he says, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. We've talked about that previously. He says this, they are not of the world. And he says it again, even as I am not of it. Oh, okay, so one of the things that's on the heart of Jesus today is that you and I, as followers of Christ, do not look like, do not act like, do not think like, do not talk like the rest of the world, that we do not reflect culture, that we actually reflect Christ in this culture. See, I told you there wasn't going to be many amens, but that's good stuff. See, you were not meant to reflect culture. You're meant to reflect Christ in this culture. You're in the world, but you're not of the world, the Bible says. So you don't think and act and look and You don't live like everybody else does. Why? Because you're a follower of Christ. And yet, I had this thought. I've been really battling this. I want you to know, battling what I'm seeing in the world today, especially in American Christianity, of Christians in America, and pastors in America, and what's happening in the church today. And it grieves me. It grieves me. And I'm going to show you this in Scripture. So we've seen what Jesus has prayed. Now, let's listen to what Jesus says, Mark chapter 1, and then I'll come to that thought again. Mark 1, verse 14. Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Let's hold that phrase right there. Let's hold that verse right there. He's preaching the gospel. Jesus is preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. The word gospel in the Greek is euangelion, and it means, you means good. So EU, good. So that's why we have the word eulogy. Like whenever you're at a funeral, you give a eulogy, you give a good word about the person who has passed away. Everybody see that? Angelion is a word that means literally message or news. So euangelion would be good news or a good message. Euangelion is where we get our word evangelical or evangelistic or evangelism. Sharing the good news. Or angelion, message, that's why it's really a word that we also have, angels, based off of that word, because here you have Gabriel going around. What is he doing? He has a message. Like when he shows up to Mary, I've got a message for you. And he gives this message, angelion. So euangelion means the gospel. It means good news or a good message. And so Jesus is saying, let's go back to that verse in Mark 1:14. Let's put that back on the screen. Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel or the good news of the kingdom of God. Okay, verse 15, and saying, now this is what he's saying, Jesus is saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Remember, what's he preaching, everybody? He's preaching the good news. He's preaching the good news. And he says, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. And here's the good news, repent and believe in the gospel. That's the good news, repent and believe in the gospel. And as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And then Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. And what did they do, by the way? When Jesus called his disciples, what did they do? They dropped everything, and they just followed him because they knew what he was asking. That he was saying, hey, listen, if you follow me, it's dropping everything. That's why we read in Luke. Remember in Luke, there's this portion of scripture saying, you know, well, who goes to battle without counting the cost? Who builds a house without counting the cost? And he's talking about what it looks like to follow Jesus. And he said, you have to take up your cross and follow me. He said, if you're not willing to give up every single thing in your life, then you can't be my disciple. And you're like, whoa. Pastor, that's intense. And a lot of people take that as bad news. Well, that's bad news because I like my stuff. Well, that's bad news because I've been working on this fishing business for a long time, and you're telling me to follow you? And Jesus went around preaching the gospel, the good news. No, repent. Repent and believe. I want you to repent and believe. I want you to follow me. That's the good news. Here it is, everybody, that Jesus is calling us out of darkness into his glorious light. And that when we repent and believe in Jesus Christ, we have been transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his dear son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. That's the good news. Okay. Now, so I've been thinking about this a lot. Well, if people say they're a Christian, you wouldn't believe how many people I've talked to lately say, well, of course I'm a Christian, but they are knowingly living in sin. Knowingly living in sin. Well, yeah, I'm a Christian. In fact, I had a conversation, and I won't get into all the details of it, but I had a conversation with somebody recently who said, well, of course I'm a Christian. I've been a believer for a long time, and I've been in ministry, and yet they're just living in sin. And I had to confront them, and I did this in love. Well, brother, if you're a Christian, why is sin okay in your life? Why are you okay with the way that you're living if you say you're a follower of Christ? He didn't have an answer for that. And I asked him, could it be that you're not actually a Christian? Oh, he didn't like that. I was watching a panel of pastors recently. This is a video that I have. This panel of pastors. And one of the questions that was asked of these pastors, I don't know the exact terminology, what they said, but I do know the exact answer. The question was, what's scaring you the most in the church today? What are you the most concerned about in the church here in America? And the pastor paused for a second. He said, my biggest concern is pastors. And they thought he was going to talk about sin. They thought he was going to talk, you know, about all of these, you know, political aspects or the hot topics in culture. And what did he say? No, my biggest concern is the pastors. He said, everybody started kind of laughing a little bit. He said, no, I'm being serious. I'm being serious. Because a lot of pastors are not preaching what following Christ really is. He said, I believe our churches are filled. Listen to this. He said, I believe our churches are filled with a lot of false converts that say, well, I prayed the prayer. Of course I'm going to go to heaven. I prayed the prayer. I remember I raised my hand in church. Doesn't that count? Now I can go live life how I want to because now, you know, things are okay with me and Jesus. So sin, can I tell you something? If sin doesn't bother you, if you're living in sin, knowingly living in sin, and it doesn't bother you, could it be that you're actually not a Christian at all? Because sin should bother you. You say, well, Pastor, how do you know? Because Jesus said in himself, we repent and believe. So when we come to a saving faith in Jesus Christ, it is two things happening simultaneously. It is both repentance and faith. It's coming to him, I believe and I'm repenting. I believe and I'm repenting. I tell people it's two sides of the same coin. That if you come to Jesus Christ in true salvation, you're not going to come to him in faith without repentance. It has to be both. And you're not going to come to him with repentance without faith. It has to be both repentance and faith. So if somebody comes to him and says, well, I've come to him, I prayed the prayer. I believe in Jesus. Well, the Bible says even the demons believe in Jesus. Trust me, they're not going to go to heaven. Even demons believe in Jesus. Well, I believe in Jesus. Sure, I believe as Jesus the Savior. Of course, I'm a Christian. Okay, so what that, but if they're still living in sin, that means I have faith, but I don't have repentance. But salvation is not a matter of just faith. It's a matter of faith and repentance. Let me say it this way, that true faith is accompanied with repentance. So then the opposite side is that there are some people who say, well, of course I'm a Christian. I do this and I do this and I do this and I do this and I stay away from this. I stay away from this and I stay away from this. And all of a sudden you get the feeling that they're trying to earn their salvation and you cannot do that. We're saved by grace through faith, not of works. And so a lot of people come to Christ in repentance, but not in faith, that they're trusting more in their own works than they are in the work of Jesus Christ. And that too is equally wrong. Everybody see this? Okay, so when we come to faith in Christ, you say, well, Pastor said, you said the Bible says that we're saved by faith. They're saved by grace through faith. That's true, totally true. You said whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Absolutely right. But when you're truly having faith in Christ Jesus, truly calling upon him for salvation, you have a recognition of sin in your life, that sin has separated you from God, and you're repenting of your sin. You've had a change of mind, is what that word repentance means. I've had a change of mind concerning sin, and that change of mind has changed my direction. Now I'm facing God. I'm going towards God instead of going towards the world. So I'm not going to reflect the world anymore. I'm going to reflect Christ. I'm going to show you this in Scripture because this is such a theologically deep area that a lot of people don't understand. Well, Pastor, I just believe in Jesus, therefore I'm saved. Well, yes and no. Because again, demons believe in Jesus. There were people who followed Jesus. And he said, listen, you've got to leave it all. And they didn't want to. And it wasn't that they didn't believe. It wasn't that they did not believe he was the Messiah. They did. But they still walked away and said, oh, I believe in you, but I'm not willing to give up. And they walked away. And it broke the heart of Jesus. And you look at that person. Well, obviously that person is not a follower of Christ because they walked away. Let me tell you what a disciple, a follower of Christ really is. A disciple is a student or a follower who adheres completely to the teachings of Jesus. They adhere completely to the teachings of Jesus. Everybody say that word completely. Ready? completely. Let's say that again, completely. They adhere completely to the word, the teachings, to the life, to the example of Jesus Christ. That's what a student is. In fact, when we go to Israel, and again, it was on, and then it was off, and then it was on again, and now we don't know because of what's happening over there right now. I wouldn't advise anybody to go to Israel right now. But when you go over there, when we go over there, you'll see something so cool that when my wife and I were over there, we realized that there are a lot of Orthodox Jews kind of everywhere, and a lot of these men are wearing these black hats, and they have the white shirts and a black suit coat and black pants, and all of a sudden we realized that not all of the hats were the same, that a lot of the black hats just look different from one another. So we asked our guide, hey, what's the deal with the different hats? He said, oh, I'm so glad you asked that. He said the hats represent the rabbi whom they adhere to their teachings. So if they have a certain hat on, then they're identified as a student of a certain rabbi who teaches certain things. And rabbis compete against one another. They compete against who can be the most brilliant, who can come up with the greatest teachings, who can come up with the greatest information. And then they create followers. And so when an Orthodox Jew, when he's being taught under a rabbi, he'll buy a certain hat and he'll wear that hat, and it identifies him with that certain rabbi. So Jewish people understand this a lot more than Americans do. That when we say, are you a follower of Christ? Do you adhere completely to his teachings? Completely. And I'm going to ask you that today. Do you identify completely? Have you surrendered completely to the teachings of Jesus? And so faith, we come to Christ in faith, and we certainly cannot work for our salvation. It is a gift of God by grace that we are saved. But when we come to him in surrender and in faith, part of that faith is also, I realize I'm a sinner in need of a Savior, and I surrender to you. And from this day forward, I'm going to identify with you. I'm going to follow you in all things at all times. And the Bible says when there's a genuine conversion, that person is made new, that the old is gone and the new has come. So all of a sudden, you give your life to Christ and you say, well, I don't want to do that anymore. That's what was separating me from God. I don't want to sin anymore. I don't want to give into that anymore. I don't want to think those thoughts anymore. I don't want to look at that stuff anymore. Jesus is not pleased with those things. I want to serve him and him alone. Do you see it, everybody? That he actually changes you. That there's a transformation that takes place, and all of a sudden he changes your want to. That you want to serve him and honor him and worship him. And I would really challenge you, if there is sin in your life that you're okay with, well, me and God just haven't worked it out. He's going to let me by with it. No, you have not worked it out, because he is holy. And he would not put his seal of approval on sin in your life. I talked to one guy. He said, well, I know I say a lot of bad words, but me and the big guy, we're good. He's okay with it. He knows who I am. Yeah, he does know who you are, and he's not okay with it. You see how it is? You see how we look at that and say, well, that's kind of hypocritical. Well, haven't we all been hypocrites? I have been. I don't know about you, but if you said, Pastor Justin, have you ever been a hypocrite? I'd raise both my hands, because I have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God more than I would ever like to confess. But this thing I know, I'm not okay with sin in my life anymore. I once used to be. I used to be okay with it. I am not okay with it now. Why? Because I've been made new. I have trusted in Christ alone for salvation, and he has saved my soul. Okay, so what does it mean then to truly follow Christ? You ready for this? Because we're going to study the Word of God, and we're going to study it very quickly. So I put these verses in there so you can go study these things for yourself. But if you want to, if you, If you're a true follower of Christ, true followers, number one, repent of their sins, trusting in Christ alone for salvation. It is a repentance of their sins. In fact, that's what Jesus said. He said, I've come to preach the good news, and it is a matter of repentance and belief. Repentance and belief, two sides of the same coin. That when you come to Jesus in faith, you're also coming to him in repentance. And he'll save you every time. But it's total surrender. And now, I'm going to teach you this. Well, what about the sin in my life, Pastor? I still struggle with sin. Let me get there, okay? So I'm going to take you there, because we all still struggle with sin. So hang on. Hold that thought. This is what the Bible says. And again, I'm going to go through this very quickly. Luke 5:31, Jesus answered them, it is not the healthy who needs a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous. He said, I've come to call sinners to repentance. Jesus himself said that. I've come to call sinners to repentance. Mark 1:15, the time has come, Jesus said. The kingdom of God has come. He says, repent and believe the good news. I want you to repent and believe the good news. Romans 6:1-4, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin so that grace may abound? And the answer to that in verse 2 is certainly not. So a lot of people say, well, I've come to Christ, I've surrendered to Christ, but I still want to do this. So I just go ahead and, he said, no, do you keep on sinning so that grace may abound? No, absolutely not. In fact, he says, verse 4 of Romans 6, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. That there's a newness that accompanies your life when you surrender it to Christ Jesus. So true followers repent of their sins and trust Christ alone for salvation. And that is a delicate matter, because a lot of people focus on repentance and they forget about the faith aspect. Well, and then they're depending on their works. That's not the gospel. A lot of people come, well, I believe in Jesus, therefore, I said the magic words, therefore I'm saved because I have faith. That's not the gospel. The gospel is repent and believe. You have to come to him in repentance and in faith. And when you come to him like that, he'll change your desires. He'll make you new. And you'll have to ask this question, wait, do I allow sin in my life so that grace can abound? And the answer is no. No, the Bible says that we give no place to the flesh in our life. We don't give an allowance for the flesh in our life, for the sin in our life. We don't allow that. Number two, true followers base all of their decisions on Jesus and God's word. 1 John 2:6, whoever claims to live in him, in Jesus, must live as Jesus lived. 1 Peter 2:21, Christ is your example, and you must follow in his steps. Ephesians 5, follow God's example, walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved. You can study those things for yourself, but you are, New Song, to base every decision on your knowledge of Jesus Christ and his word. So I'm going to follow him. My life is going to be a reflection of Jesus Christ. That's what true followers do. True followers, number three, allow God's word and spirit to transform them. Ephesians 4 says that we will come to such unity in our faith and the knowledge of God's Son that we will mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ, not the standard of you, not the standard of your friends, not the standard of your pastor, but the standard of Christ. That's maturity. Ephesians 4:22, so throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So we're to throw off everything in our past that separated us from God. Am I making the point here, everybody? Do you see this in Scripture? That repentance is part of your faith journey. That obedience is part of your faith journey. So as Christians, true followers, we don't like it when disobedience is in our life. We don't like that. It grieves us. So number four, true followers live a life in sharp contrast to the world. Romans 12:2, you know full well, don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Philippians 2:3-5 says, don't be selfish. Who knows the world is selfish? Don't do that. Don't try to impress others. How many know the world tries to impress others? It's one of the reasons, everybody, that, and this is just me. If you want to watch it, I don't care. I really don't care. But I cannot watch like award shows in Hollywood. It grieves me because they're just living their life to impress other people. I'm not impressed. So I'm not going to live for the applause of man. I'm going to live for the applause of God. And so a lot of pastors are afraid to teach this because they're afraid people will walk out of their doors. And I disagree. I think people want to know the truth. I think people are coming to church because they know, I just want to know what the Bible says. I want to know what God thinks, what God determines, what God chooses. I want to know the truth. And I think it's actually very inviting. So we live in sharp contrast to the world. It says in verse 4 of Philippians 2, don't look out only for your own interests, but take interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Jesus Christ had. Number 5, true followers choose a life of worship, of love, of humility, and of service. And I'm going to read these scriptures very, very quickly. 1 Peter 3:15, instead you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. John 13:35, but this is Jesus speaking, by this all will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So we're going to worship God and we're going to love other people. Romans 12:16, live in harmony with one another. Don't be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Don't be conceited. Just be humble. Just be you. Just serve somebody else. Consider others to be more important than yourself. Galatians 5:13, serve one another humbly in love. So we're going to choose a life of worship, of love, of humility, and service. And then number 6, true followers rely wholeheartedly on the Spirit of God for help. You rely on the Holy Spirit for help. Let me say it this way. For all of you who's like, well, Pastor, I really struggle. I can't do this on my own. I can't be that good of a person. Let me tell you something. You're exactly right. You can't in and of your own strength. You don't have enough willpower to be the person you want to be. You have to rely on the Holy Spirit to help you, and He will. Just this past week, I was saying, even my staff didn't know, I was in a moment, and this guy was just being... And in the moment, we were down at a conference. In the moment, I wanted to set this guy straight. Trust me, my flesh said to set this guy straight. He was so out of place, just so cocky, arrogant, high-minded, prideful, just disgusting, actually. But I heard the Holy Spirit say, no. But I really want to. No. I said, okay. Because the old Justin would have. But I've been made new. And the Holy Spirit is working in me, telling me, speaking to me, helping me to reflect my Heavenly Father, to reflect my Savior in this world. This is what the Bible says. If you say, I can't do it on your own, you're right, you can't. You need the Holy Spirit. That's why John 14:26 says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, Jesus says this, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all the things that I have said to you. So if you say, I can't even remember it all, you don't have to. The Holy Spirit will remind you. He'll remind you. Galatians 5:16, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So if people say, well, how do I get over this issue in my life? You walk by the Spirit. You don't walk in the flesh. You follow and rely on the Holy Spirit in your life. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit, and we know those things, love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. What's this? Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So you have to have this attitude in life. No, I have crucified, the flesh has been crucified. I've been crucified with Christ, therefore I no longer live. The life I live, I now live by faith in the Son of God. He loves me. He gave his life for me. I'm now living life in the Spirit of God. My flesh is died. I've died to self. So every day I just make a choice. I'm going to die to Justin today. And Justin is stubborn. So I'm gonna allow myself once again. I'm gonna remind myself, no, I've been crucified with Christ. So I don't live. But Jesus Christ now lives in me. The Holy Spirit of God lives in me and helps me to live the life that I'm called to live. Romans 8:26 says, this is so beautiful. The Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. And by the way, we all have weaknesses. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses to rise above them, to be an overcomer. So I'm going to go back to this verse of Scripture. Mark 1:17, then Jesus said, follow me. Do you know the first word that he said to Peter, to Simon Peter, was follow me? The last words that he personally said to Simon Peter was follow me. He started with it, he ended with it. Follow me. Surrender it all. He said, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. And they immediately left their nets, and they followed him. He said, I will make you become. It is the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. I want you to know something. I still do not have it all together. I don't. But I'm not the man I used to be. And I'm being more obedient to Christ than ever before, but my obedience needs to increase yet. And you're going to struggle with weaknesses. But I'm becoming who Christ wants me to be. I still fail sometimes. And when I fail, everybody, it grieves me. Does it grieve you? Is there a sin in your life that continues happening? Is there something in your world that continues to happen? And you just say, well, that's just who I am. It's not supposed to be who you are. Jesus died on the cross and rose to life so that you wouldn't have to be that person. Well, we just worked it out. God's okay with it. No, he's not. You've been deceived. The Bible says to be holy because he is holy. So we're to embrace holiness, not sinfulness. You see what I'm saying, everybody? We have to come to him in repentance and in faith. So if you say, you know what, I just got something in my life. And maybe you've been thinking, maybe you haven't even been thinking about it. That you just, oh, it's just part of my life. Yeah, I know that. But I'm still a Christian. I'm still a follower of Christ. Let it, and I pray this prayer, let it never be said that New Song is filled with any false converts whatsoever. I don't want any false converts here at New Song. I don't want to have to stand before God. The Bible says that we get judged more strictly, those who teach and preach the word of God. You think I like that verse? I don't like that verse. But because I love you so much, I'm willing to teach and preach something that a lot of churches across this nation are not preaching and teaching because they're scared it'll send people away. And we need to pray for the church in America and the pastors in America. And we need to embrace all of God's word. And you need to, New Song, fully surrender. Is there something in your life that you're okay with that God isn't? Have you truly come to Christ with repentance and faith? Does sin grieve you? Does it bother you when you sin? Or are you just, it's okay? Everybody? I need more of Jesus in my life. And I need to surrender to him even more than I have. And even as I was preparing for this moment, the Lord showed me a few things in my life that he's still working on me. But I'm not who I used to be. Can you say that? It's time to surrender. I'm going to ask you to stay right where you are and just bow your heads. And in this moment, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands. I'm not going to ask really for any outward sign at this moment. I just want to know, have you truly surrendered? Jesus himself said, repent and believe. Repent and believe. That is the good news. And whoever comes to him in repentance and belief, he always says yes. He'll always forgive. If you say, Pastor, I've been knowingly sinning against him, give it to him today. But not only ask for forgiveness, but truly repent of it and turn away from it. Jesus, I have sinned and fallen short of your glory more times than I would ever like to say. I've been okay with things in my life that were not okay to you. And I come to you right now in full surrender. I come to you now, truly repenting of my sins and placing my faith in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. But I need your help. I cannot live the life that you want me to live all by myself. I don't have enough willpower to do that. So more of your presence in my life, Lord. More of your power in my life, Lord. More of your spirit in my life, Lord. Holy Spirit, fill me to overflowing, I ask. So that I could be who my Savior has called me to be. That I could live a life of victory in Jesus Christ. So I surrender to your will. I surrender to your word. And I surrender to your spirit. Holy Spirit, I'm sorry for grieving you, for continuing in sin, grieving you. I'm sorry, Holy Spirit. And I receive the forgiveness that is mine in Christ Jesus. I thank you for saving me. Jesus, thank you for saving me. And I pray it in Jesus' name. And if you agree with that, say amen.
As a church, it's our honor to play a small part in what God is doing through your life, and we would love to continue on that journey with you. To find out what your next steps could be in your relationship with Christ, all you have to do is go to mynsc.org/contact. Thank you to all of you who consistently give, serve, and pray. You are the ones who God is using to make a difference in our community as we live out our mission of leading people to become fully devoted followers of Christ. Thank you for watching. We hope you tune in next week.